Well, we've been looking on a Sunday evening about God, the Holy Spirit. We began a few weeks ago by looking at something of what God was like. Do you remember we looked at the fact that God was three persons, one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we saw something of the glory and the unity of the Trinity. But since then, we've been focusing specifically on the Holy Spirit himself. We've looked at how the Holy Spirit gives life. It's one of the most important things about the Holy Spirit, certainly from our perspective, because if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit giving life to us, then none of us would be able to call ourselves Christians. We were all dead in our trespasses and sins. And although Jesus Christ lived the life that we could never live, although he died on the cross in our place, although he took the punishment of death that we deserved, although he was raised to life and given new life, that new life that Jesus Christ won for us can only be received by us through the Holy Spirit. And we find, actually, as we look at the Holy Spirit, that so much of that type of thing can be said. That although it's possible for us to say, well, this part of the work, that was done by God the Father, and this part of the work was done by God the Son, and this part of the work was done by God the Holy Spirit, as you might expect from a Trinitarian God, each person in the Godhead works together to contribute to something even more glorious than any one person of the Godhead on their own could ever do. And as we think about these things, it raises a question in our mind, doesn't it? About, well, how does God the Holy Spirit and God the Father and God the Son, how do they kind of relate to one another? How does the work of one affect the work of the other? Now, sometimes people can get confused about the relationship, let's say, between God the Holy Spirit and God the Son. Did you notice in the hymn that we just sang together, in verse 2 of that hymn, Charles Wesley writes, "Send us the Spirit of thy Son." And I don't know what you were thinking as you sang that line, but there's a tendency for us to think, well, that's a little bit confusing, isn't it? I know that there's God the Holy Spirit, and I know that there's God the Son, but where does the Spirit of God's Son come from? What is that the Holy Spirit? Is that Jesus? What is Charles Wesley talking about? And in case you think that Wesley's got bad theology, I wouldn't have chosen the hymn if that was the case, of course. But the New Testament itself, not often, but does on occasion use that sort of language. And we'll see some examples of it later on. So sometimes the Bible itself can talk about the Spirit of Jesus, or the Spirit of God's Son, or the Spirit of Christ. And as we look deeper into the Bible, we find that there are certain things that are true of Jesus Christ that are also true of the Spirit. For example, Colossians 3 says that we have life in Christ. But Romans 8 verse 11 says we have life in the Spirit. Might be a bit confusing. Philippians chapter 4 says we have joy in Christ, but Romans chapter 14 says we have joy in the Spirit. Philippians 3 says that we have righteousness from Christ, but Romans 14 says that we have righteousness from the Spirit. So there certainly seems to be an overlap, at the very least, doesn't there, between the work of Jesus Christ and the work of the Spirit. Now, I don't know if you remember from school Venn diagrams. Do you remember Venn diagrams? I used to quite enjoy Venn diagrams in school, so if you'll just indulge me for a moment. When we're looking at the work of Jesus Christ and the work of God the Holy Spirit, you can imagine it as a Venn diagram, the work of Jesus Christ here as one circle and the work of the Holy Spirit here in another circle. And the point that we're making is that those circles are not separate. Those circles overlap. And there is work, you would expect this, wouldn't they? There is work that God the Holy Spirit and God the Son both contribute to. Now, although there's overlap between those two circles in talking about the work of the God the Son and the work of the Holy Spirit, they don't overlap exactly. They're not exactly the same. The work of the Holy Spirit is not exactly the same as the work of Christ. So it's not that the Holy Spirit is a kind of invisible version of Jesus. That's not what the Holy that's not what the New Testament is teaching us. There are certain things that God the Son alone did. Jesus Christ took on human flesh, of course. God the Father never did that. And God the Holy Spirit never did that. But God the Son took on human flesh. God the Son lived that life that we could never live. God the Son died and rose again. Not God the Father. Not God the Holy Spirit. That was God the Son. And in fact, when we read through our Bibles, we find that there are certain things, therefore, that are focused on Jesus Christ very much. For example, the idea of faith is very much focused in on Jesus Christ. Why? Well, because it's Jesus Christ who walked this earth. It's Jesus Christ who was an historical human being that people could see and touch and hear. It's Jesus Christ who accomplished that salvation for his people here on earth. So when we have saving faith, it's faith in Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is certainly working in us to build that faith and to give that faith to us. But we're not having faith in the Holy Spirit, we're having faith in Jesus Christ, because it's him who's done this great work of salvation. So those are just some ways as we're introducing this, as we look at ways in which there is some overlap between the work of God the Son and the work of God the Holy Spirit. They're not completely separate, but at the same time, they're not completely overlapping. There is some overlap between the work of God the Son and the work of God the Holy Spirit. But when we dig a little bit deeper still, we begin to find some glorious truths about God the Holy Spirit. And there was a verse that we read in the passage earlier from John chapter 16 on page 957, which really helps to summarize for us one of the key roles of the Holy Spirit. And if you're really trying to understand, well, what is it that the Holy Spirit does? And you just want to be able to remember a few kind of key headings. The Holy Spirit gives life. We've already talked about that. But today, our key heading, as it were, what this sermon is all about, is that the Holy Spirit makes Christ known. The Holy Spirit makes Christ known. Look at John chapter 16 and verse 14, for example. Here, Jesus tells us what the Holy Spirit is going to do. Remember, at this time in the story, Jesus hasn't yet been crucified and risen, and the work of the Holy Spirit's going to change after Jesus Christ goes back to heaven. So this is written in the future tense, saying what will happen to the Holy Spirit, but from our point of view, what Jesus is describing is already true. It's true in our day, but for the disciples in Jesus' day, it was still in the future. And this is what Jesus says. It says, he, the Holy Spirit that is, will glorify me. It's a great description of the work of the Holy Spirit. For he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said, he will take of mine and declare it of you. And that is a wonderful, lovely summary of a big part of the work of the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit doesn't try and get glory for himself. The Holy Spirit seeks to glorify God the Son, glorify Jesus Christ. That's what John chapter 16 and verse 14 says. The Holy Spirit doesn't, despite the fact that the Holy Spirit gives life and so on, where does that life come from? Well, do you remember? It's the life that Jesus Christ won as he conquered death. And the Holy Spirit takes that life that Jesus Christ has won and he applies it to believers. When we look at the work of the Holy Spirit, very often what the Holy Spirit is doing is taking what Christ has accomplished or what belongs to Christ, and as it were being the means, the channel by which those wonderful things that Jesus Christ has accomplished can be applied to the lives of everyday, ordinary believers like us. The Spirit, you see, makes Christ known. The Spirit makes Christ known. And that's what we're going to be looking at this evening. And there's three ways in which I want to show that to you. Three different passages from the Bible that will give us different perspectives on the way that the Spirit makes Christ known. Here's the first one. The Spirit makes Christ's presence known. The Spirit makes Christ's presence known. Do you ever wish that you would be able to know the presence of Jesus Christ? Certainly when I've read my New Testament, when I've read the Gospels, particularly when I was younger, I often used to think, it would be brilliant to have met with Jesus. As you know, we recently went to Israel and went to various places where Jesus had walked, and that brings those thoughts to you again, doesn't it? Well, here are the places where Jesus walks. There's just one thing missing. That Jesus himself is not here. And do you sometimes feel that? Oh, if only Jesus was here. And yet the whole section that we've read together, particularly in John chapter 14 and John chapter 16, is that Jesus has been saying here, look, I'm going away. I'm not going to stick around forever in human form here on earth. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to leave you, he says. Look at chapter 16 and verse 7, for example. It's to your advantage that I go away. Isn't that amazing? Jesus is saying to his disciples, you're better off without me. How could we possibly be better off without the Son of God? Well, then Jesus says, it's to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. So in other words, Jesus says, look, physically, I am going away. Physically, there'll be a time when you'll see me no longer. That's certainly the case. But look, you're better off like that. Because if I go, then I can send the Holy Spirit. And the clear, very clear implication of what Jesus is saying here is, you're better off with the Holy Spirit than you were with my physical presence. You're better off with the Holy Spirit than with my physical presence. That's what Jesus says. That's what he says. Well, is that really true? Are we better off with the Holy Spirit than with Jesus' physical presence? Well, let's look at what Jesus says. Turn back to John chapter 14 and verse 16 for a moment. Because that's where Jesus begins to introduce the topic of the Holy Spirit coming. We're told there that Jesus will pray to the Father and he will give you another helper. That's again a reference to the Holy Spirit. That he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. And we're told here that the disciples, they already know the Spirit of Truth. For he dwells with you. But then look at verse 18. I will not leave you orphans. Jesus says, I will come to you. And in verse 19, he says, a little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. Now, theologians debate whether those two verses, verses 18 and 19, are a reference to Jesus' resurrection appearances or a reference to something greater than that, something bigger than that. And I think it's only fair to say that probably both those things are true. When Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you, he both means that he will be raised from the dead and will see them face to face, as it were, but he also means that even when he leaves them that second time, not to go to the cross as he did the first time, but to go back to his Father, as he does later, he will still be present with his people. He will not have abandoned his disciples. He is still present. So how is that possible? It's possible because God the Holy Spirit makes the presence of Jesus Christ known. So if we're to know the presence of Jesus Christ in our everyday lives, if we're to be near to Jesus Christ, if we're to know his presence, if that's going to be true, it'll be because the Holy Spirit will have made the presence of Christ known to us. And therefore, the Holy Spirit has this incredible work to do, doesn't he? Incredible ministry to make the presence of Jesus Christ known to his people. And therefore, we really are better off with God the Holy Spirit than we were with Jesus as physically present. Why? Well, partly because Jesus in his human form can only be in one place at one time. So maybe if you were with Jesus in his physical body, maybe I wouldn't be able to be with him because he'd be with you instead. But God the Holy Spirit doesn't have that constraint. God the Holy Spirit can be in all places equally. And therefore we can all know Christ's presence through the work of the Holy Spirit. That's one reason why we're better off with the Holy Spirit. But the second reason, of course, is that we have the benefit of knowing, therefore, the presence of Christ, not simply externally, as they knew when Jesus walked this earth. They could see him and touch him and hear him. But we're told, here aren't we, in John chapter 16, that the Holy Spirit will be in you. And we're told later, several times in the New Testament, that Christ is in us. The Holy Spirit, you see, makes Christ's presence known, not just in an outward sense, as they had in the first century, but in an inward sense. And we're tempted to think, well, that's not the same. We're tempted to think, well, that's not as good. We're tempted to think how much better it would be if we could see and touch Jesus, but no. If we think that way, we're demonstrating a great flaw that so many Christians fall into. If we think that way, if we think it would be better if we could see and touch Jesus, then what we're doing is we're valuing the physical at the expense of the spiritual. But you see, as far as the New Testament is concerned, the spiritual is so important. The spiritual is vital. And therefore, if we can know the spiritual presence of Christ, that's a greater thing even than the physical presence of Christ. That's what Jesus himself is saying. And it's the Spirit who makes Christ's presence known. It's the Spirit who makes Christ's presence known. Well, that's one of the ways in which the Spirit makes Christ known. The Spirit makes Christ known by making his presence known. But here's the second thing now that we can say about the Spirit. Here's a second way in which the Spirit makes Christ known. The Spirit makes Christ's Word known. So earlier we talked about the Spirit making Christ's presence known. Now we're saying the Spirit makes Christ's Word known. Let me again show you from the passages we read so you can see that for yourself. John chapter 14 and verse 26, for example. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Do you see what Jesus is saying? Here on earth, Jesus has said all kinds of things. And these old kinds of teachings, and no doubt there's been private instruction as well along the way, some of which is recorded in the New Testament, some of which hasn't been recorded. And all of these things that Jesus had says, he tells his disciples here that once he's gone, the Holy Spirit will come, and he will take these things that I said to you, and bring them to your remembrance. He'll help you to remember them. It'll almost be as if the Spirit, as it were, is speaking Christ's words again. That's kind of the sense that you get, isn't it? And this is made even clearer in chapter 16 and verse 13. Again, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So it's the same principle. Do you remember we began with it at the beginning? That the Holy Spirit, one of the things that the Holy Spirit does is not to do things by himself, as it were, but he takes what's Jesus and makes it known, what belongs to Jesus, and makes it known to his people. And here we're reading that the Holy Spirit takes Jesus' words and makes them known to particularly the disciples, we're being told here. Now, what does this mean for us in a practical sense? Well, there's one sense in which the disciples are being singled out here. They'll become the apostles later on, the witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Between them, they'll be responsible for, under the Spirit of God, for writing large chunks of the New Testament. And there's very much a sense in which these soon-to-be apostles have a special... these things have a special meaning to those who are apostles. Jesus' words that they were going to be sharing and preaching and teaching, they're not going to be have to scratching their heads trying to, oh, what was it that Jesus, do you remember? Oh, I'm afraid I can't remember. Perhaps Peter, he's got a better memory of him. Maybe you should ask him. They didn't have to worry that they might forget what Jesus said or they might get it wrong, because the Holy Spirit would inspire them as apostles in that special sense. That's certainly true. And we believe, don't we, that not just from the apostles, but also from other gospel writers, that they were inspired to accurately record what Jesus said. And that's why we can trust our Bibles today. And in actual fact, that's what God the Holy Spirit has been doing right throughout human history. Do you remember 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10, where Peter talks about the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you, searched intently and with greatest care, trying to find out the time and the circumstance to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. So that sense of inspiration, as it were, in prophets and apostles, that's been going on right throughout the biblical period. But I think what's being said here is more than that. I don't think that what being said here is limited simply to the apostles. Because I'm sure that if you think about it, this experience, not in the same way as the apostles and the prophets, but this experience of the Holy Spirit bringing things to mind that Jesus has said, that's something you've experienced, isn't it? You wouldn't say that you were divinely inspired, of course not. But you would say maybe that the Holy Spirit had helped you. You would say perhaps that the Word of God was illuminated for you. You would say perhaps that the Holy Spirit had been reminding you of the things that Jesus had said. Isn't that your experience? Don't you ask for the Holy Spirit's help when you're living your life and trying to remember what it is that Jesus had said and done? Wouldn't, with our forgetfulness and our sinfulness and our hard hearts, if it was just down to you and me on our own in our spiritual state, wouldn't we forget all about Jesus and what he's done? Tragically, that happens sometimes, doesn't it? But then the thoughts come back. Maybe there's a temptation we need to fight. And we reflect on the cross and we think of what Jesus has done and all that he's suffered. And these thoughts come to our mind. What is that? The work of the Holy Spirit bringing to mind perhaps the words of Christ. If you're a Christian, you've experienced that. And that is at least part, I think, of what Jesus is saying here. It's what the Holy Spirit does. He makes Christ's words known. And therefore, of course, it's a very helpful reminder to us of just how much we depend on the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we can depend on our own cleverness and we realize we're not very clever at all. Sometimes we can depend on our own wisdom and we forget that the Spirit is the source of all wisdom. And actually all that we have, every breath that we breathe, do you remember the word for breath is the same as the word for spirit? Every breath that we breathe is the Spirit working in us. Every time we remember what the Bible says, it's the Spirit working in us. Every time we're able to obey the Scripture, it's the Spirit working in us. Every time we think well of Jesus Christ, it's the Spirit working in us. See, the Spirit of God is vital in the life of the Christian because the Spirit makes Christ's presence known. The Spirit makes Christ's Word known. There's a final thing I want to tell you about the work of the Spirit. Not only does the Spirit make Christ's presence known and the Spirit makes Christ's word known, but thirdly and finally, the Spirit makes Christ's work known. The Spirit makes Christ's work known. In other words, the Spirit isn't just reminding us of what Jesus has said, we've touched on it already, but the Spirit also reminds us of what Jesus has done. And not just reminds us, but the Spirit makes sure that the work of Christ is known by those who would otherwise not know it. So one of the things that the Holy Spirit does is he helps the disciples, not just Jesus' disciples here, but all of Christ's disciples throughout all of human history, he helps them to be a witness. Look at John chapter 15 and verse 26. We didn't read this passage earlier. John chapter 15 and verse 26. We'd read there, "When the Helper comes, whom I shall send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." We could translate that, "He will bear witness of me." There's a subtle difference here between what we were reading earlier. Because here, it's a testimony or a witness that the Holy Spirit will bring. And we're told in verse 27, "You also, disciples, you will bear witness because you've been with me from the beginning." In other words, this testimony, this witness is not simply about what Jesus Christ has said, but it's about what Jesus Christ has done. And the Spirit, therefore, is helping to make Christ's work known. And what a vital thing. If it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, did you know this? If it wasn't for the Holy Spirit making Christ's work known, none of us would be Christians. If it wasn't for the Holy Spirit making Christ's work known, then the gospel of Jesus Christ would have died out by about 30 or 40 AD. That would be the end of it. But the Holy Spirit, from then until now, has been making Christ's work known. Why? How? By working in the lives of disciples, initially the apostles, in this special way that we've already talked about, that they were eyewitnesses to His Majesty, to Christ's Majesty, that they were witnesses to the resurrection itself. They have this special place in the testimony, in the witness of Jesus Christ, because they've been with Him from the beginning. They have that special place. But they're dead and buried now. They're in glory now. Their voices are no longer sounding out. Their voices are no longer making Christ's work known. Whose voices are doing that? Initially, in those early centuries, it was the people whom they'd spoken to, the people who'd been converted through them, people like Lydia perhaps, people like Timothy maybe, and many, many others who'd heard of the testimony from the apostles, and they says, I can testify to the work of Christ. Why? Because I've heard it from a trustworthy source. I've heard it from the apostles. But where did they get the power to preach in that way? Where did they get the courage to witness even in the face of oppression and difficulty? Where did they get the ability to powerfully speak? How did that happen? Well, it happened because the Holy Spirit was working in their hearts. It happened because the Holy Spirit was working not just in the apostles, but in later disciples, even to our own day, of helping us to make Christ's work known. And the Spirit loves to do that. The Spirit loves to take what is Christ and to make it known, not just to believers, but through believers to an unbelieving world. And the Holy Spirit, we're told of this in chapter 16, verses 8 to 11. We haven't got time to look at it in detail now, but even there we're told that the Holy Spirit will convict the world. Convict the world. You see, the Holy Spirit doesn't just work in believers, but the Holy Spirit works through believers to speak to an unbelieving world. And what a joy it is then for us to be able to know the Holy Spirit working in us and through us to make Christ's work known. And here's the thing. If you're anything like me, when it's time to speak about Jesus Christ, you maybe get very nervous and maybe even afraid. And you worry about what other people will think. And more than that, you worry about what on earth you'll say. And what if they ask this question, or what if they respond in this way? But we don't need to worry. We don't need to worry, not just because Jesus told us not to worry in general sense, but we don't need to worry because the Spirit of God loves to make Christ's words and Christ's work known. And sometimes the time when we feel the Holy Spirit's presence most powerfully in our lives is when we're speaking. Preachers can testify to that. But not just preachers. I wonder if you've ever had the experience of sitting down with somebody and trying to share them the gospel. You're not standing in a pulpit. There's no great exhortation. Maybe you're just sitting over a coffee table or in someone's lounge, and maybe with a Bible open, or maybe from memory, you're seeking to share Jesus Christ. And as you're doing that, you're praying desperately that God will help you. And you find that as you're speaking, you're making much more sense than you imagined that you would be able to do. You're able to speak into situations, and you're talking about different parts of the Bible, and it seems to have a real impact on the person that you're speaking to. It seems to be speaking right directly into their lives, almost as if you could see into their mind and be able to read their mind and see exactly what it is that they need to hear. And you're just doing your best with God's help to simply witness, but there's something more than that going on. It can happen in pulpits, but it can happen in lounges, it can happen on trains, it can happen in coffee shops, it can happen wherever we are. And what is happening in those instances is that God, the Holy Spirit, is working in the lives of believers to make Christ's work known. He loves to do that. He loves to act as a witness, as it were. As we see here, he's the Spirit of truth. If you've not experienced something like that, and maybe it's something you need to pray for, maybe it's something you need to seek God's face over, maybe we need to plead with God and say, Lord, give me that burden to share the gospel with others. Give me that courage that the Holy Spirit can bring. And Lord, help me. Empower me. We're not going to be inspired as the apostles were, but we can be empowered. The Holy Spirit loves to give power to God's people so that we can speak powerfully. And of course, if you're praying this for yourself, for your own witness and testimony, we need to pray it too for preachers from this pulpit, don't we? I know that primarily that means me, and I don't like publicly to say, pray for me, but I think in this instance, you'll forgive me and understand that it's my duty as a preacher to say these things. That we need to pray that there'll be power from the pulpit. We need to pray that the Holy Spirit will take hold of the words that are spoken here. We need to pray more than that, that the Holy Spirit will take hold of the people who stand here. And that as we preach, it'll be as if God himself is speaking. We need power in the pulpit, and it's the Holy Spirit who provides that power. It's not me who provides that power. I am powerless. That such power can come only from God the Holy Spirit. And we need to come together as God's people to pray for power from the pulpit. And because, of course, the Spirit loves to make Christ's work known, then as the work of Christ and the words of Christ are preached, we believe the Holy Spirit would love to bless that and to powerfully bless it. We need to pray for that. We'll, God willing, be doing that in the fellowship groups coming up this week and prayer meetings in the weeks to come, that the Holy Spirit would make Christ's work known powerfully, even from this pulpit. But as we close, the Spirit makes Christ's work known to unbelievers, but crucially, the Spirit also makes Christ's work known to believers too. Do you know that? Romans chapter 8, verse 9, for example. Paul says that you are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. So here's what Paul is saying. He's talking about the Spirit of God living in us. And if we don't have the Spirit of Christ, we don't belong to Christ. But what's Paul saying here? He's saying that the Holy Spirit makes Christ's redeeming work known to believers. So we sense the Spirit of God indwelling us. We sense the Spirit of God working powerfully in us. And that helps us to understand and know that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he wasn't just dying for other people, but he was dying for me. And how do we know that? Paul's saying we know it because the Holy Spirit dwells in us. It's one of the ways in which we know it. So the Holy Spirit, in other words, is making Christ's work on the cross known to us in a personal way. We can know it in a general sense, but this is now a personal sense. Christ's work being made known. It gives assurance and it gives blessing. He says similar things in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13. He says, when you believed, you were marked in Jesus with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Again, that idea that the Holy Spirit is testifying to our spirits that we are part of the children of God. Galatians chapter 4 verse 6, because you're his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who cries out, Abba Father. And the Spirit now is working in us to help us to know that Jesus Christ has indeed died for our sins and that God therefore is our Father. In that sense, we've been adopted into his family. Do you see? The Spirit makes Christ's work known to believers. If it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, we would never believe. If it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, we would never have heard. If it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, we would never know that we believe. But the Holy Spirit works in the lives of believers to make Christ's work known. And that means, you see, that assurance, being confident in your salvation, is not something you have to work up in yourself. But that too is a gift from God, a work of the Holy Spirit. Do you see how much we rely on the Holy Spirit? Do you see how central the Holy Spirit is to our daily existence as believers? We couldn't live without him. Because the Holy Spirit takes what is Christ's and makes it known to his people and even to the world. Well, the Holy Spirit exists, we remember, not to glorify himself, but to glorify Christ. And that indeed is what Jesus himself said. And that indeed is what we remember. So we don't, as it were, praise the Holy Spirit as such. But instead we praise God the Father for sending the Spirit. We praise God the Son for accomplishing this work. And we thank God for the Holy Spirit who makes all this known to us. Giving too much glory to the Holy Spirit at the expense of Jesus Christ. And we should be Christ-centered, therefore, in all that we do. But yes, praise Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as the triune God. Certainly do that.